We're opening the phones to hear your thoughts on the news yesterday that actually came about during this show yesterday. Garrison Keillor's news here from NPR. NPR severing ties with Keillor after allegations of inappropriate behavior. Keillor's show in Massachusetts last night was canceled. A reporter for the Berkshire Eagle did speak briefly with Keillor, though, who said, quote, "It's all kind of bewildering to me. My situation is that I've worked extremely hard on a show that I love for almost 50 years, and somebody else can torch it in one morning, and so it's all gone, and it's a difficult thing to discuss," end quote. Keillor has described the incident in question by saying he put his hand on a woman's back and she recoiled, but that he immediately apologized. We have no update from NPR that might offer more details on what happened to spark its decision. Sue Scott performed next to Keillor on A Prairie Home Companion for 24 years. She spoke yesterday with NPR's Tom Cran.
I heard about it this morning and I was stunned, totally surprised, shocked, know nothing.
So you worked next to Garrison Keillor for more than two decades. Did you ever see any inappropriate behavior from him or on the show?
No, nothing. Nothing. We were always very focused on doing the show on the weekends, and there was always a sense of urgency because we were doing a brand new live show every week. And yeah, I saw nothing. I have nothing to say. I'm stunned. I'm still sort of trying to take it all in myself.
The news also found its way into late night comedy last night on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
And on top of all this, 75-year-old Garrison Keillor, the guy from A Prairie Home Companion, was fired today from Minnesota Public Radio. Apparently, he was asking women to fondle his tote bag, and they said, "That's, you don't donate, you don't pledge." Okay. Can you imagine being fired from Minnesota Public Radio? It's like having your library card revoked. It's a weird thing.
Today, there's a video from 1994 going around online of Garrison Keillor at the National Press Club. He spoke for about 30 minutes about the need for good humor in politics. He also spoke about the news stories of the day, which was the Whitewater investigation into the Clintons. He noted he had not yet seen any evidence of a crime, and he questioned the scandal and the reporters covering it, and then ended his speech this way.
When scandal breaks and we get to see the humanity of the great and the powerful revealed, naked and dumb in front of us, there's always a cry for new rules, or at least some new awareness that will prevent this from ever happening again. We should be careful, though, not to make the world so fine and good that you and I can't enjoy living in it. A world in which there is no sexual harassment at all is a world in which there will not be any flirtation. A world without thieves at all will not have entrepreneurs. A government in which there are no friendly connections or favors between politicians and powerful people would be the first in the history of mankind. And a world without fiction, my friends, would be unbearable for all of us. Thank you.
That's Garrison Keillor in 1994. We have made requests to NPR leadership to speak about this on this show. We've not heard back. We also hope to speak with Garrison Keillor as well. But I'd love to hear your thoughts today, your questions. What are you thinking about? 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1. And please don't call or text if you're driving. And while you're calling, I will talk for just a few minutes here with Jane Kirtley, who's the Silla Professor of Media Ethics and Law at the Hughes Journalism School. Jane, we've seen big names in media like Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer and then Garrison Keillor, which is a different kind of media, all fired in recent weeks. What are you reflecting on here today?
I'm reflecting on the humanity and the fallibility of humanity. I think I lived and worked in Washington, D.C. for about 18 years, and I knew many of the powerful people in the news media. It's a huge ego trip to achieve the level that people like Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, and Garrison Keillor did. And I think when they're often surrounded by people who are very deferential to them or sycophantic or in love with them or whatever the case may be, it's easy to think that the rules of civilized behavior don't apply to you anymore. In fact, you can go down the road of saying, if I'm doing it, it must be okay. to me, the big message from these most recent firings is that news organizations and entertainment enterprises that some would characterize as liberal are stepping up to the plate and taking action. I think that's important at a time when we're seeing those from more conservative sides having similar or worse accusations and defending this alleged behavior. But I also would underscore the word alleged, and this is the one part that as a lawyer does concern me. Of course, we don't have all the information, those of us in the public, about the degree of investigations of NPR, NBC, and so forth. But there does seem to be a message emerging, whether correctly or not, that on the strength of an allegation or two, we're prepared to say, off with their heads, they must be fired, they must go away. I realize this is not a court of law, but it does seem to me that there are due process issues here, at least as an outside observer watching how this is being done.
How do you square that with what you know is also a history of when allegations have come forward in the past, women just weren't believed, and this might be a moment, or seems to be a moment, where they are more and more believed?
I think it is tremendously important that women who make accusations that have a foundation must be believed, so that's not a question, in my view, of one or the other. It is rather, I think, a question of whether at least there is a perception that if a woman or anyone who claims sexual harassment makes the accusation, that it therefore must be true. I don't think we have to say it's either it can't be true or it must be true. It might be true. And what I would want is a full and fair hearing from all sides to try to determine what the truth of the situation is.
Jane Kirtley from the University of Minnesota's Journalism School, thanks so much for your thoughts here today. Appreciate that. We'll add that to the mix for sure. Have a good day.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's now go to the phones. We want to hear from you. That's it for guests. It's just you and me now for the rest of this segment. 1-800-242-2828. Jennifer is in Stillwater. Hi, Jennifer. What are you thinking about today?
Hi, yeah. I'm actually very exasperated that Garrison Keillor was sent off to an island because he touched a person's back. I think the whole thing is going against the foundation of our justice system, innocent till proven guilty, the right to face your accusers, to not have nameless, faceless accusers in a civil court, in a criminal court, in an ethics investigation. That's why Al Franken called for an ethics investigation the same day that Leanne Tweeden, Sean Hannity's employee, accused him, because he's not afraid of the facts that are going to be found in the ethics investigation. And I think that we're taking a lot of things out of context, that a lot of powerful people who say are the biggest fundraiser for the Democratic Party, possible presidential contender, the person standing between net neutrality being repealed, he's the point man on that, Al Franken, the Jeff Sessions, excoriating Jeff Sessions in the committee hearings mm-hmm. in the Senate, all these things would make him a target, as opposed to, say, the manager at Walmart, you know, being accused where no one's targeting him. So I think there's two levels to this of who would possibly be targeted by, say, Roger Stone when he tweets out the day before that it's Al Franken's time in the barrel, where Al Franken has now been in the barrel for, 2 weeks and counting?
Yeah.
It's very, exasperating to me as a woman. And I also, as a woman, find it insulting to victims of sexual assaults and rapes that people can just come out and say, someone in a photo, there's no way to prove a negative. And so if you take a selfie, as Al Franken, for example, and Garrison Keillor have done, you know, thousands of times, if your hand is on the small of their back, they can say it's 3 inches lower, and you have no way to defend it because it's behind everyone's back. And this is so obvious to me that anyone who ever took a photo with these powerful people could just say, oh, his hand is 3 inches lower, and they cannot in any way defend it. So I don't care what party you're in or who's being accused. They're going to come after your person that you like and say that his hand was lower in that photo. And how is he going to defend that?
Jennifer, thanks so much for the call here. We heard from Charlene in Golden Valley who said, I'm quitting my membership after more than a decade and telling my friends to do the same. NPR has turned him, meaning Garrison Keillor, into a criminal, and I don't have any sense of what he did wrong. When will NPR's leaders say more? Charlene, on that question that you asked, I don't have an answer for you. So far, NPR leadership has declined our request for an interview. Deb sent me an email saying, why are allegations enough to fire someone or terminate contracts? Don't those accused deserve the benefit of the doubt until the veracity of the charges can be investigated? How can something like this end someone's career? How is that fair? Back to the phones here. Julie in Minneapolis. What are your thoughts here today, Julie?
Well, I was a huge fan of Prairie Home Companion. I listened every week for at least 10 years. I did notice some, you know, some sexist comments, a little bit of hint of, you know, that he kind of made funny and so forth. I even brought it up to a male friend of mine. But just in the tape that we just heard, I feel like Garrison tried to make sexual harassment kind of warm and cozy. And it, to me, it sounded like a person that was speaking from a position of privilege who had never suffered anything himself. And for some reason for him, it was easy to make it humorous. And to tell you the truth, sexual harassment isn't humorous and it's not warm and cozy. And I guess that's about all I have to say about it.
Julie, thanks so much for the call. We're taking your calls. Open phones here. The news broke basically 24 hours ago. And so you've heard about what happened to Garrison Keillor. Obviously, there's a connection here on NPR. A lot of people listening right now did or didn't listen to Garrison Keillor, but certainly knew who he was on these dials. So we're opening it up for your reaction and your thoughts here today. 1-800-242-2828. Let's go to Joe in Minneapolis. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Go right ahead.
My point is the lack of consistency. I mean, some people get fired, some people go to investigations. So that's my problem with this, because what are we going to do with professional athletes? I could guarantee that sometime this season there's going to be a professional athlete who has a domestic assault or some type of sexual harassment. They don't get fired. What's going to happen with that? So we need to have consistency. Due process has to take place.
Joe, thanks so much for the call here. Michael emailed us and said Garrison Keillor was convicted without a trial by NPR. It's a sad state in America where a person can lose their job based on allegations before an investigation is complete. Therefore, I have decided to convict NPR without a trial and will never give a dime to or my company's money to any public radio or television organization. Mike, thanks for the email. I would note, though, that public television and public radio in this market are not the same thing. And so I certainly know the folks over at TPT might take issue with your decision based on what happened here at NPR. David Brower writes a lot about the media, has done so, including for organizations like MinnPost. He says on Twitter, I stopped donating to NPR when Bill Kling, that was the founding CEO, spiked a MinnPost ad. I carried the grudge too long. I'm donating today to counteract some Keillor fanboy out there. Rick in St. Paul, you're on the air. What would you like to say here today?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go right ahead.
You know, we all seem to be dividing in the camps on this. You know, I like Al Franken, and so maybe we should wait and give him a chance. And he's apologized, and, you know, so that somehow makes it okay. But, you know, Keillor seems a little bit arrogant about it and unremorseful. And so, you know, I don't like him. And really, I think what's absent in this discussion is what about how it made the victims feel? And I don't support a victim mentality, but what I'm saying is that in this discussion about the perpetrator, the actor, I think we have to remember that this happened to people that are cared about, that are trying to make their way in their profession, in their workplace, or whatever happened. And regardless of whether Keillor finds it humorous and fearful of a too sterile world, that in the workplace, in our interactions, just between people, we should respect other people. And we should be talking about, you know, I'm sorry for how that made that person feel. And I would like to apologize to them because I'm a human being and I've hurt someone else. And then we're going to move on in our interactions and our relationships in healthy and productive ways, mm-hmm. rather than continue these discussions about dividing into camps. And then we talk about that more than we talk about how do we get along with each other, how do we move and interact with each other in professional and still personal ways.
Rick, thanks so much for the call. As we're taking calls and hearing from you, we've also heard a lot. As we noted, our member services here at NPR has received more than 1,000 emails since this news broke. So that's in the last 24 hours, and hundreds of voicemails to our basic phone line when you call into NPR and you can leave a message. Just to reiterate the statement that we do have from NPR, again, at this point, we've been declined interviews for NPR leadership, but the statement from NPR yesterday noted that the allegation, NPR was notified of the allegation last month. They put together a committee, retained outside law firm to conduct an investigation, an independent investigation. The investigation is still ongoing, but, quote, based on what we currently know, there are no similar allegations involving other staff. Another email here from Nan. Shame on NPR for the way you ended Garrison Keillor's long career with your station. The scales of justice seem to be missing important evidence. Your slash and burn means of handling difficulties, strange and disturbing. There is also a question that, frankly, I need a little clarification on about where Garrison sits in the hierarchy. There was the independent production company of his that produced the show. NPR News distributed the show to radio stations across the country. And so we're hoping to clarify all of those particulars as well as this reporting continues. Let's go back to the phones here. Lauren is in St. Paul. Hi, Lauren. What are your thoughts here today?
Hi. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about how I work in the service industry, mm-hmm. and it really sucks that all of this is coming out. But at the same time, I think it's very, very important for young women especially, but all anyone really, to understand that, like, these kinds of things are never okay. And I think it's very important to also understand that, like, your heroes might not be as great as they seem, but also if it's very obvious that there are men in power that are not very conscious of mm-hmm. how they are towards women. I think that it's just very important for people like me to see that that it's just not okay.
Lauren, thanks so much. I appreciate you calling. I thank you for the call there. Let's go to Sheila, who's also in St. Paul. Hi, Sheila. Your thoughts today.
Hi there. I have three of them. I reiterate many of the things we heard. I'm a sustaining member, and I am really disappointed that this seems perhaps like, if all we know that a shoulder was touched and a career was ended, that seems ridiculous. There must be more to it, but I think because it's member-based, we deserve to know more before this action was taken. Second, I just wonder about art in general, and every time an artist is found to have done something that's not right, is their art going to be removed from public spaces? And the third thing is Nancy Pathis on the recent morning interview was just the most sane voice I've heard with in relation to this whole topic. And you know, she talked about reconciliation and going forward. Every woman I know has been harassed. I'm 54 years old, but we live with these people. We love them, we work with them, and there needs to be some path forward that's not so punitive. And although this is a much smaller issue, I'm reminded of the Reconciliation Commission that Desmond Tutu, you know, had in South Africa, mm-hmm. because we all have to live together and move forward. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Sheila, I think you said Nancy Pappas. I think you were referring to State Senator Sandy Pappas, who was on Morning Edition.
Yes, it is Sandy Pappas.
Okay, very good. I don't know if I misheard you or not there, but I just want to clarify that as well. Marianne wrote an email that says this: come on, firing Garrison Keillor, really? Must you jump on the frenzy bandwagon? No more Minnesota Public Radio. Dawn says on Twitter, I was a resident of Minnesota for 20-plus years, and Garrison Keillor was one of the reasons I discovered and loved NPR. I am just heartbroken and still in a state of disbelief. Jackie is in Minneapolis. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning.
Go right ahead.
I would like to comment on the Keillor investigation. Hopefully, if it has been proven that there is enough evidence, then I am not for reconciliation. I participated in headed a sexual harassment suit in 1970. And what I'm not hearing anyone say is the after effects. The lawsuit kept me out of work for 3 to 4 years in depositions, in being called, in having people I dated being flown in. It was with Sperry Univac, a local major company. My employment was ultimately fired, and for probably 10 years thereafter, I became what I term a rabbit. If I could isolate myself, if I could stay very still in any kind of work I had to not be noticed, I virtually worked to disappear within society. So reconciliation is for the type of sexual harassment that is non-power driven, non-economic, does not harm the mental and psychological well-being and the medical well-being of the person. For people who are in a power position, I believe there has to be accountability that's punitive.
Jackie, thanks so much for the call. I'm going to interrupt here for one moment because we've just gotten word here from the Washington Post. Now, as you know, Garrison Keillor also writes a column that is distributed to newspapers across the country, and it goes through the Washington Post. There was a lot of attention on the fact that just the day before the Garrison Keillor announcement was made, he had written a column defending Senator Al Franken. And the quote here and the statement from the editorial page editor of the Washington Post says he wrote a column defending Al Franken without any disclosure of his own situation, being that he was under investigation. We are troubled by Minnesota Public Radio's report that Keillor engaged in inappropriate behavior in the workplace, a charge that he denies. And the statement ends like this: we have admired many of the columns Keillor has written on a weekly basis for the Washington Post syndicate and news service over the past 18 months, but we do not intend to publish his columns in the future. So we just got that word here in the newsroom. That's from the Washington Post syndicate, right? They have that news service that sends out columns that Garrison Keillor had been writing there to papers across the country. Ian wrote an email with a few words that we can't say on radio. Dear NPR, well, it's a two-syllable word. The first syllable is dip. I'll let you guess the second one. What the heck? You terminate all contracts with Garrison based on an allegation. You are truly blanked up. I have lost all respect for NPR. Good riddance. You will never see another dime of my money. Trent is on the phone in Granite Falls. Hi, Trent. What would you like to add to this conversation?
I'd just like to say a couple things, and I'm probably not as well spoken as your other guests. But number one, is an apology completely worthless? I said, number two, Al Franken's accused him of touching her buttocks 10 years ago. I don't remember what I did 2 weeks ago, and she remembers having her butt touched 10 years ago. And not only that, we got two quality individuals, in my opinion. I mean, Garrison Keillor made NPR what it is. And here we got a guy sitting in the White House bragging about doing all this stuff, very unapologetic and everything. I think we're in a pretty sad state of affairs, and NPR will never see another penny of my money.
Trent, thanks so much for the call. Melissa in Minneapolis, what are your thoughts here today?
Well, from an employment law perspective, I've heard a lot of people having concern that this is, quote unquote, an allegation, and whether there was civil procedure, whether there's some kind of due process. When an employer, in my experience, undertakes a month-long investigation before taking action, there usually is something serious, and the employer is concerned about risk. quite frankly, if more employers did this type of investigation early on, took things seriously, we wouldn't be in this situation now. There's a lot of information now that NBC knew about Matt Lauer's behavior, that other people in his own company knew about Harry, you know, all these allegations have been out there for years and employers never took action. So if the investigation demonstrated that there was concern about his behavior, I think NPR did the right thing. The previous caller just made some comment about, I don't remember what I did 10 years ago. Well, you know what? I remember 20 years ago, the first man who was a colleague making a comment about my breasts at work. I bet every woman remembers every time she was sexually harassed, even if it was 20 years ago. You don't forget it because it's a terrible, terrible feeling. And the fact that a lot of men do this because they sexualize women who are their peers, their colleagues, and maybe even their friends is the problem because they don't really, it's an issue. I also haven't really heard an apology from Garrison Keillor that's substantive. I don't think there can be reconciliation when, again, you have people who don't really think this is serious and that it impacts women's lives going forward.
Melissa, thanks so much for the call there. We're taking your calls here today for a few more minutes. The first part of the show, just your reaction to the news here. Of course, you can get all caught up on the latest developments of the Garrison Keillor story at nprnews.org. Becky says in an email, I would just want to comment that it sounds like they spent a long time investigating. I hope we can find out more about that investigation at some point, but I still strongly support NPR. I've been living in Denver for 4 years and still donate every month and listen every day. Lucy in Minneapolis. Hi, Lucy. What would you like to add?
Hi. As a woman who's experienced sexual harassment and a psychologist who's worked with many victims of sexual harassment, I just want to say that what I think we're seeing is an overcorrection. We needed a sea change, a systemic change, but what I think we have now is a Salem witch trial, where as soon as a finger is pointed, someone is damned. And if there isn't more to the story with Garrison Keillor, then it is a tragic loss of a cultural icon of our day.
Lucy, thanks so much. Let's go to Andrea in Little Falls. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I just want to let you know, I've had many conversations in the last weeks with men and women, and I think this is really nuanced, and I think people are missing that in the scheme of things. You know, when you listen to Garrison Keillor say, if you want to live in a world without sexual harassment, there's no flirtation, I think he's spot on. This is, life is not black and white. It's a lot of gray, and I just don't want to live in that world where there's, it's just so rigid we cannot even have a conversation at work with a man or a woman.
Andrea, thanks for the call. Arthur, or I should say Andrew on email says, let it be known I will no longer financially support NPR. I will no longer support a news organization which conducts or condones news sensationalism and McCarthyistic attacks. Final call here to Nina in St. Cloud. Nina, you're going to get the final call here on this segment. Go right ahead.
Thank you. 50 years ago is the first time that I remember experiencing being sexually harassed. And over the years, it's happened again and again. I have, however, instead of becoming a victim, learned how to address the situation with the individuals and nip it in the bud. I think that we have become way too sensitive to things that people do. Everybody cannot have everything that they want. We need to learn from each other. We need to be more respectful. And I think even back many years, men were not aware. They really, truly were not aware that women did not like to be touched inappropriately. They thought it was flirtation. They thought it was okay. Well, it isn't. So this is a good thing that this is coming out. Let them learn from it. But let's not persecute every man and have him fired from every job so that only women are in the workforce and men are just plain gone.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for everyone's calls here today. I thought it was important to just open the phones. We've gotten a lot of reaction. As I noted, more than 1,000 emails to our listener services department here at NPR, hundreds of voicemails. So we wanted to open it up here for part of the show. Obviously, we'll continue this story. We'll continue reporting it. And we hope to speak ourselves to both Garrison Keillor and NPR leadership for the while now, though. The latest on this story will always be at nprnews.org.